What's up, Wichita, Kansas, and welcome in to the Surgecast, the official podcast of the Wichita Wind Surge. I am your host. My name is Scotty Gurman. Alongside me is none other than the nicest person in the entire world.
Oh, wow.
And the voice of the Wichita Wind Surge, Mr. Tim Grubbs.
Scotty, this is great.
This is awesome, man.
We're finally here. If you wonder where we are, we're in the studios inside Riverfront Stadium.
Yeah.
So this is pretty cool.
How long have we been waiting to do this? I mean,
obviously, over a year.
Yeah, COVID hit.
Right.
We were supposed to have our inaugural season last year, and it's enough time.
So I moved here, I guess, about 18, 19 months ago.
Yeah.
So September of 19, we started talking about it then.
Yeah.
And I know we already had it, and then that's when I found out there was an actual studio going to be inside the ballpark. So yeah, it's been a while since we've been talking about this to actually finally do a podcast from this studio and actually see baseball field, you know, see the baseball field used.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the diamond's been there for over a year, actually more than that.
Yeah.
The ballpark wasn't done, but the field's been done since the fall of 19.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Here we go. It's finally happened. We can honestly say that we're going to finally have a season. Can we?
I think so.
Okay. That's good enough. We'll go with that.
Hey, I'm one of those guys. You know, before I was always a half glass full guy, but after what happened, everything that we happened last year,
oh yeah, for sure.
I think I'm just kind of
riding by the seat of your pants.
But we're gonna have a team practice on the field later this week, which will be the very first time somebody takes a grounder off the infield.
Yeah,
and then, of course, on Saturday we'll have a Division I American Athletic Conference baseball game, and
my boys,
we'll get to see this place come alive.
That's absolutely right. And if this is obviously this is the very first episode of this podcast, so those of you guys that are tuning in. This is going to be a lot about basically what's going on at the stadium with the team, everything that we can tell you, any kind of knowledge that we have or whatever we can say about the Wichita Wind Surge and the stadium.
Yeah, and this is going to be kind of an introduction one because we can't really talk about the team
yet. Exactly. We really don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be kind of nice to be able to introduce ourselves. Who in the heck am I? I mean, obviously, you're probably the most interesting person that we have here on the show. But
well, there's only two people on the show.
That's what I'm saying.
Still, so, I mean, you're a professional podcaster. How long have you been doing podcasts?
I've been doing podcasting for about 4 years now. So it's an ongoing thing. I do it out of Wichita. I am a Wichitan. I've been here my entire life. And so finally being able to see this come to fruition means a lot to me emotionally. And as a baseball fan, it's just 10 times that more important to me to finally be able and to volunteer and be a part of it is even more important to me. So it's
And I think it's great to have the influence of a Wichitan.
Yes.
I mean, you grew up a baseball fan in this city. You have not had affiliated baseball in 13 years or so.
2007 was the last time the Wichita Wranglers, when we had an affiliated team with, I believe it was the Kansas City Royals.
Kansas City Royals back then, yes.
And they were a double-A team as well. So it's so nice now, but this is a whole new different thing with minor league baseball.
Well, you know, I was in minor league baseball then, and I'm still in minor league baseball, and a lot has changed.
Yeah.
You know, in those years.
How long have you been a part of minor league baseball?
Since 1995.
Yeah.
I was an intern with the Hickory Crawdads. My debut into minor league baseball. So it's been a long time. It's been 25 years.
That's crazy.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
You know, I've moved across the country and different spots in North Carolina, Tennessee, Louisiana, and now right here, dead smack in the middle of the country in Kansas. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And how are people treating you since you've been here?
It's been great. You know, I obviously traveling around the Pacific Coast League the last 17 years.
Yeah.
I've been to Iowa, Nebraska. My wife is from Iowa.
Oh,
so I kind of have become a Midwesterner, you know, because of marrying a wife. So, you know, Iowa, Kansas, it's pretty much the same thing. I'm sure Kansans are like, no, it's not. Yeah. But no, I mean, everything's been nice and everybody's been friendly and everybody's so excited about baseball.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first things I kind of figured out when I first moved here, I went to a Dillon's and walked into the grocery store to buy like five or six things. And I couldn't tell. I remember saying to my wife, I can't believe how many different major league hats.
Oh, yeah.
On that one trip that I saw.
Yes. And then obviously being from Wichita, yes, we have a huge college basketball following from the Wichita State Shockers going to the Final Four and all of that comes with it. However, in my opinion, this is very much a baseball town. It started a baseball town back when Gene Stephenson was the head coach for the Wichita Shockers back in 89. We won the World Series. All of that, it still incorporates a baseball mentality when it comes to living in Wichita, Kansas.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and for me, who's coming from a football town, and I've lived in a lot of football towns along the way, but I still figured I would see a lot of Royals and Shockers. But the fact that I saw Cubs, Cardinals, yeah. Rangers, Blue Jays, Nationals, you know, I don't remember the list that I saw that initial time, yeah. but it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not a Royals fan. That's my bad. I'm sorry. I grew up an Ozzie Smith fan, so right. obviously I'm a Cardinal fan. But now we are affiliated with minor league baseball, so we're affiliated with the Minnesota Twins, right?
Right.
Initially coming in last season, we were hoping to be, we were a Triple-A affiliate, and when the season never got kicked off, we were with the Miami Marlins. So how does that kind of switch all of a sudden that we go from Marlins to now Twins and a Double-A team?
Right.
Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I mean, I kind of knew. I've been with the Marlins the last dozen years, mm-hmm. and I knew when the team was moving from New Orleans to Wichita that the agreement would be up after 1 year, and I assumed we would probably no longer be Miami.
Right.
After 1 year, yeah. because just geographically, it
exactly.
didn't make yeah. sense.
It didn't make sense.
New Orleans was in the southeast part of the country. Miami's in the southeast part of the country. So I kind of figured we would be a Triple-A team for yeah. a Milwaukee or something right. in the middle of the nation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of things happened, not really COVID related with Major League Baseball. That contract between Minor League Baseball and Major League Baseball was expiring. Yes. A lot of people think it's because of COVID, but they went from 140-some teams, actually 160-some teams, down to 120. That was kind of already leaked before COVID
exactly,
ever happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was going to happen, that we would drop down. You know, you would think someone who's been in Triple-A baseball, I would be upset, but I'm not.
No.
You know, I have seen minor league baseball evolve over, you know, 20 some years that yeah. I've been in it, and being with the Marlins, and I'm just going to put it from a Marlins perspective, because I've also have seen this for other organizations. In New Orleans, Giancarlo Stanton spent
yes.
almost a full year in Double-A Jacksonville, 0 days in Triple-A,
exactly.
jumped to the big leagues. Christian Yelich spent almost a full season in Double-A, 4 days in Triple-A
That's
before
right.
JT Realmuto, Marcelo Zuna. You know, just seeing the Marlins guys kind of get their grooming in
Absolutely.
At Double-A and then moving up. You know, I know you're not a Royals fan, but let's put it in 2021
yeah.
perspective.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr., number one pick, almost made the major league team yeah. for the Kansas City Royals out of mm-hmm. spring training. Where did he end up going? Double-A
baseball.
And
That's
we may
right.
see him here. I don't know how long he's going to be down. If he has a great May
yeah.
in minor league baseball, then maybe we don't see him, because I think Northwest Arkansas is strolling in here in June. But that should give you the perspective of the top prospects are here.
Yeah.
And Triple-A, it's more insurance
yeah,
policies.
Yeah, and it's rehabilitation a lot
yeah.
of the times, too. And it's normally just for, you know, a pitcher that gets hurt. He's normally only there for one performance or something like that. So you don't see a lot of the really good prospects. I mean,
right.
my example for the Wichita Wranglers was Johnny Damon.
Yeah.
You know, he came through here. We got to see a lot of, and especially with the NBC tournament and everything that comes out
mm-hmm.
of that, you get to see guys like Barry Bonds. And so we kind of, I don't know if it's not a negative thing looking at it as
I don't think it's
a
negative at all.
I think this is actually a really great thing, because we get to see these guys before they're superstars.
Right.
And I think that's a really positive way of looking at it, but I think it's also a very realistic way of looking at it too.
Yeah, I think 12 months ago, if you would have come to opening day at Riverfront Stadium and you would have saw Wichita versus Memphis.
Yeah.
Memphis was a Cardinals affiliate. You being a Cardinals fan, you would have probably known half of the Redbirds lineup
yep.
because you had seen them in the major leagues with the Cardinals
right.
or somebody else, and they had been dropped back down a level. And if St. Louis has an injury, they would have called them up. That would have been the same kind of with our Wichita lineup out of Miami.
Absolutely.
This season, when we take the field and you look at the 18 guys that are in the starting lineup, unless you're a college baseball fan or a prospect guy, you may not have heard of any
Anybody.
Of those guys.
Yeah, and I think it's kind
Which
of...
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting thing. You get to see these guys at the beginning of the career when they start getting hot.
Right.
And that's going to be so awesome, especially for, I don't know, I think kind of the Kansas mentality is more, they fall in love with their players and they
mm-hmm.
want to see them for longer, as opposed to going to seeing that one guy that one time and say that you did. I think this is going to be more of a relationship that you have with that particular player or players,
right.
however it happens. So this is going to be an exciting thing, us being a Double-A team. And I don't see it negatively at all.
And I think for me, and I hope fans are this way too, as a baseball fan, as a Major League Baseball fan and a minor league baseball fan, I can turn on a major league game and there's guys that I
yeah.
have got to see baseball. Maybe met him, maybe not, but, and it's nice. And I root for certain individuals that I started watching in minor league baseball that I'm like, hey, I like the way that guy played, even though he may be playing for a team that I formerly detested. Right. I might root for them because I root for that individual and that guy.
Absolutely.
And I hope that comes to fruition here. Whether you're a Royals fan, Cardinals fan, Cubs fan, or even now that we're affiliated with the Twins. And believe me, I haven't seen much minor league baseball with the Twins because they've always been in a different league. But they've always been a great farm system, Absolutely. And I'm excited to be a part of them.
Yes, and I'm excited to see them. But the best part about all of this, I think, is that we're definitely geared up to be able to support a AA team, probably more than that.
Absolutely. But, one of the big things with minor league baseball being taken over by major league baseball is facilities.
Right.
And of the 42 teams that kind of got deleted, and unfortunately for those communities, if you look at the one variable why they lost their team, is probably the facility, the ballpark, at least from a player's perspective. They want these top-notch places. They want a field that is pristine. They want clubhouses that are great. They want all the amenities, the weight room, the training room, the indoor batting cages. We have all of that and more here. Oh, not only do we have everything for the fans, the suites and everything like that, we have everything for the players. So.
Oh, man. The cool, like, the locker rooms, yes, of course, they're cool.
Right.
But they're, I don't even know, is it batting cages or it's like indoor facility mounds, where back whenever it was Lawrence Dumont Stadium, where you used to enter the stadium, is now obviously closed off because you enter from the left field foul pole and the right field foul pole areas or whatever. But the entrance where it used to be at Lawrence Dumont is now turned into an indoor pitching and batting cage facility, and it's huge.
It's huge.
It's enormous.
It's really big. So if a game, if it's cold or hot or whatever, I mean, not only can the team take batting practice indoors, a pitcher can get his full bullpen session in indoors and not have to worry. If we're in a rain delay, and knock on wood, we never have to deal with that here at this ballpark.
I don't know, rain delays
the
are kind of fun.
The pitcher can stay warm.
Yeah.
Warming up downstairs in the, in that batting tunnel area. And it is, it's
first,
awesome.
First class dugouts, and first class just amenities for all of the players that are going to be coming in through here. And you thought about everything. Everybody that built this place thought literally about everything. To the point where when I was getting my tour through the new stadium and everything like that, they put padding on the walls and the dugouts because players get angry sometimes.
And players throw bats.
Exactly. And you just go, never would have thought about that.
Yeah.
But that's the realistic side of baseball.
And obviously our former leader, the late Lou Schweckheimer, a visionary of baseball, and he's still leading us in a lot of ways, thought of everything. And I know he's been to how many ballparks, but we have three clubhouses inside the stadium. You're like, three? There's never three teams playing at the same time, but yes, there's a third one, which will help with the NBC and other events. There's a women's umpire locker room.
Yeah.
That's something that I remember when I first saw it, and I was like, wow, that's neat, but it just shows you what's coming.
And it shows you how far ahead of the game we are.
Right.
To house not only a double-A team, but all of the amenities for many years to come. So from my perspective as a Wichitan, that means that we're going to be affiliated for a long time.
A long time.
And there's nothing but positivity that comes out of that. So it makes me extremely excited.
Right. And then from a geographic standpoint, Sacramento won't be coming here or Vegas won't be coming here, but these cities. And if you want to go visit and see the wind surge on the road, it's a 4-hour drive up to Springfield.
Right.
It's a 3-hour drive or 2.5 hours to Tulsa. Those are more, from a person who's actually going to travel with the team everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, this makes a little more sense and a little bit easier for us to travel within the region.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about as well. I mean, me coming from Wichita, I remember the Wingnuts. I remember the Wranglers. I remember growing up and wanting to go to a Wranglers game. Minor league baseball now, compared to what it was back in the early 2000s and even the 90s, has evolved so much to where now, not only are we going to watch a baseball game, I mean, the true fans are obviously wanting to go watch these players and baseball and all of that, but it is a spectacle all in itself.
It is, and I know we'll be limited a little bit this year with the COVID concerns and all that stuff, with what goes on the field. But the stuff you're going to see on the big video board and the on-field promotions and the fun and the zaniness, and we're going to talk about that a lot on SurgeCast this year. When I come back from the road and I see a bobblehead or I see a giveaway or see an item, we'll probably try to incorporate that into a regular episode of just the crazy stuff you see around minor league baseball. I mean, hey, I mean, you know, our GM, you know, Jared Forma, his former team had a celery that ran around the field after their team scored a run. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, it happened as an accident, if he'll tell you the story, and we'll probably have him as a guest at some point. But it worked, and now people, there were shirts branded with the celery, Celery, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff that goes on, and the different ribbon boards we have here and the video board we have here, just the different things we can do just to entertain fans with highlights and replays and just graphics. And
absolutely. And that is the culture that is minor league baseball now, as opposed to what it used to be. I mean, and a lot of people, because I get asked all the time, just because I've befriended you guys. You guys are now part of my really close family and I love every single person that I've met with this organization. I'm so excited. But that is the cultural, like the difference between when we were the Wranglers or the Wingnuts. Mm-hmm.
And no offense to the Wingnuts. That was still really good baseball. And a lot of those guys would still end up playing in the major leagues or had played in the major leagues. But this is going to be, you know, the level is just taking it up a notch. That the fact that all 18 guys on the field
have
real potential.
Right. And it's crazy that we are going to actually be able to see it and witness it firsthand.
Right. And then the amount of development that goes in.
Yeah.
You know, the behind the scenes. We have a video center down in the clubhouse. So when these guys get done with a game, there's now a video coach, a strength coach. Those are titles that probably weren't around the last time the Wranglers had, where the video coach can take a player into the room, show him on a monitor his four at-bats. They don't have to watch the whole game, but he can download it onto his iPad, take it home, look at his at-bats tonight, all the different technology.
It's incredible the way
these guys work.
It's making baseball so much better.
Right.
Especially now. I mean, I talk about evolving the game, and these are the technologies that are now coming into where you can actually see that you can't hit an outside changeup to save your life and be exploited and try to improve on that almost in a day basis as opposed to figuring out within 3 weeks.
Right.
And it's insane that now we've got to that point, but this is the reality. This is what we're living in with baseball.
And one of the things Major League Baseball fans learned in 2020, whether you liked it or not, was the extra inning rule.
Mm-hmm.
For someone like me who's been in minor league baseball, I saw it 4 years ago, and I'm a traditionalist for the most part. I hated it. When I found out that winter that we were going to that, it must have been April 10th that I saw it for the first time, and I fell in love. It was like a power play.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's not baseball the way I grew up, you know, the pitcher should bat. But I do see why the DH is kind of cool. You know what I mean? They're better at bats, you know, different things like that.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with the new extra inning rule, and I know some people don't, so I know I'm siding with people right now.
Yeah, I know.
But it is one of those things. There are something about it, the high stress that there's already a runner at second base. And how do you play that from a strategy standpoint? Do you bunt him over? Do you swing away? Do you play for one run? Do you play for a big inning? And you know, obviously I've seen it happen in minor league baseball over the last 4 years about 50 times, and I've seen about 50 different results, but I've never seen a game go beyond the 12th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does speed it up to some degree.
And I also heard that there are other rules that are coming into play. And one of them that I am definitely not a big fan of is you have to have all your infield
on the dirt. And we're going to, there's the weird thing about minor league baseball this year is there's separate rules for AAA to AA to single A. So if you go to a AAA game, you're going to have a little bit different. They have bigger bases at AAA than we will have here.
I knew that.
Which you kind of like, you know, because I'm a base stealer guy.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned Ozzie Smith earlier. One of the teams that I loved when I was growing up, even though I was not a Cardinals fan, was watching that Cardinals team with Whitey Herzog, with, you know, Vince Coleman and Willie McGee. And they didn't hit a lot of home runs, but they get a guy on, and before you know it, he's at third base because he stole two bases. Baseball doesn't have that as much anymore. They don't steal as many bases because analytics say don't run the risk of stealing, but I think with the bigger bases, you're going to see more.
Possibly, and I mean, you're exactly right, especially the culture now with baseball, especially in the major leagues, is if you get somebody on, don't blow it, because chances are there's a guy at the plate
who could hit a two-run homer.
He could hit a two-run bomb as opposed to hitting a solo shot. So, yeah.
And I'm interested to see the infielders that can't leave the dirt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know why initially I'm kind of like, I'm torn whether I'm going to like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But as an NFL fan, as a football fan, I know there's a legal procedure, and I know you have to have certain many guys on the line, and you can only have one guy in motion as opposed to the CFL and other things. So I'm open to that because I'm thinking, okay, you know, that's not the baseball that I grew up with or your grandfather's baseball, but maybe it is. going to make it a good product. I may have a completely different opinion come May 10th or whatever, when we're a week into the season, and I'm like, I don't know if I like it or not, but we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
And I love that that we're going to see some of these experiments at minor league baseball.
Yeah. And the last question that I wanted to get to before we wrap it up for our first episode was, I want to know kind of how the players go through our system, because obviously now we're affiliated with the Minnesota Twins. We're the AA team, but what are the other teams that we're going to see some players coming from, and how's that whole
thing? Yeah, and some of we're going to talk about this quite a bit, but so if a player gets drafted, whether it's out of high school or out of college or out of junior college, he will most likely head to Fort Myers, Florida, which is where spring training is, and extended spring training, which is kind of a development player, and then they also have their low A, single A team there that is called the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. So, yes, there's going to be a lot of crazy names. So, the Mighty Muscles is where a player will basically get his start. Right now, all of our players are in Fort Myers working out. Actually, a few of them are probably at the alternate site in St. Paul, but Fort Myers is where spring training is. And a player will move up a level, and they'll head to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to play for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. And then a player will move to Wichita, where they become a Wind Surge player at AA Central. And then they go to AAA, and it's not like first grade, second grade, third grade. Right. You don't have to go to every level, and there are some shuttling and some shifting around. And then the new AAA team for the Twins is about 7 miles from Target Field in Minneapolis. It's in St. Paul, Minnesota, and that is the St. Paul Saints, who have been an independent league team. So they jumped. They were in the same league for the Wingnuts for a long time and were very successful. They have decided to make the venture into affiliated ball.
Sure.
And I think it geographically makes sense.
Absolutely it does. I mean, when you're 7 miles away, you don't have to worry about a direct flight in the next morning.
I mean, I think some St. Paul Saints fans are going to probably be upset. If you're not a Twins fan, if you're a Saints fan, we're on the day that you come to the ballpark when there's so-and-so pitching, and he might be a late scratch because the Twins may need him at Target Field today or tomorrow, and there's going to be... So that's the one thing that happens in AAA more than at the lower levels, is they put guys in holding patterns a lot, because if there's a guy that may be sore tomorrow, starting pitcher for the Twins, we're not sure he can go, so we may have to hold back the AAA guy the day before so he could start. With that proximity, they're going to have a lot of shifting.
Yep.
Where we'll be a little bit more stable here. I say that now. We'll probably be 150 transactions in come July. Sure. But we'll see. But no, and I think that's going to be great. And we're going to learn a lot about these Twins prospects. It's a top 10 organization, according to Baseball America. And there's a lot of names that we're going to learn here real soon and get to see them on the diamond. And I know we got good pitching, and they're loaded. And this team, there was no season last year, so we don't really know. Typically, if you look at Cedar Rapids' roster from last season, you can kind of look at it and be like, all right, about 50 to 60% of those guys will be in AA this year.
Right.
And that's how it works. Well, since there was no season last year, do they jump guys? You know, what exactly happens? I think we're all going to learn that, you know, real quick. And we're also going to learn, you know, with pitch limits, you know, guys didn't pitch last year. Analytics say that if you threw 100 innings last year, you should throw about 130 innings this year, not 200. Well, a lot of those guys were at zero last year, or very few. So I'm interested to see how not just the Twins, but how baseball in general handles all that.
Absolutely. And now with we've seen the major league opening day. We saw how that goes. And it's kind of interesting on how they're going to do that in their whole league and how everything's going to work, because even though that they had a half of a season last year, minor league had zero. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see.
And exactly there'll probably be a few of our guys who did play at the alternate site last year, because we've got some guys that'll be on the 40-man roster, and we can get into all the inside baseball lingo. 40-man roster just means you're eligible to go up to the big leagues, but at any point, a guy can get put on the 40-man if you need to. So this is all what happens in minor league, major league baseball, and we got a lot to talk about. Absolutely. And I'm excited about SurgeCast and working with you and seeing this ballpark come alive next Saturday.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. Next Saturday we have Wichita State playing Houston, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And so do us a favor, look into that. Obviously I'm assuming tickets have already gone on sale, and I don't know the maximum, the capacity and all of that. I don't know any of that information.
There are still tickets for sale. So if fans want to go to windsurge.com, you can buy tickets. Tickets are only on sale online.
Okay.
That is a tip. So don't come to the ballpark and stand in the ticket office line. You know, so yeah, you want to buy them online, get your tickets taken care of in advance. We still have seats available, and it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be awesome. I got to talk to Coach Eric Wedge just the other day. Mm-hmm. He's excited to come and play here. And obviously we have a field now that is kind of obviously the stadium's a lot different than Lawrence Dumont, but we are one of the only teams that have a natural grass field is the way I understand it.
Well, I mean, most minor league baseball teams have natural grass, which is a big difference between college, because I know part of the reason why the Shockers are going to practice out here this week is because they don't play on grass that often. And they want to get a feel for it, you know, because a lot of the places they play now are that field turf.
But
it's great. You know, we no longer have the split field with grass or turf or just turf. This will be great. It looks perfect. That grounds crew has done an awesome job of putting this together, and it doesn't look like it's real grass, but when you walk out there, it's it's the real thing, and I'm excited to see it. And
I am too. I'm excited for future episodes. This is basically what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Wind Surge, any events that we have coming up, any opportunity that we can keep the fans that are going to be fans or already fans of this excellent organization, to give them any kind of information that we can.
From time to time, we could have guests.
Yeah, absolutely.
And depending on what rules we have with our Twins organization, we could have a player here, a manager, a coach. You know, maybe we can get some of these other coaches, you know, strength coach, video coach, and kind of get inside what exactly happens with those guys.
Absolutely. And if we can't get any guests, then you're just going to be staring at two really, really good looking guys that really like baseball. That's kind of how it's going to work. But guys, thank you so much for tuning into the very first episode of the Surgecast. We're going to try to do an episode, if we can, every week. Obviously, we'll get into that a little bit more as the season gets closer and goes on. During the season, we'll have more episodes, obviously. But thank you guys so much. Check us out. We're going to be available, I believe, on YouTube, Facebook. You can check us out there. So Surgecast. And until next time, guys, Surge up.